How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
That's good. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter, that's the scripture we'll be looking at tonight, starting in chapter 1, verse 3. But before we read the scripture, you know, tonight I've kind of been thinking about, you know, what I was going to speak about when I found out that it was my turn to do this. So, you know, but so oftentimes we need to, more often than we probably do, we need to do a self-evaluations, don't we? You know, we need to just evaluate ourselves and see where we stand and how we're doing. And so this is what this text is about. And so when I think about how I self-evaluate myself, I always like to start off with a question to myself. You know, so the question that goes along with this scripture tonight is, how effective am I as a Christian? You know, we're supposed to be effective and fruitful, right? You know, and so what does that mean, and how do we do it, and how do we accomplish it? And then, you know, the question that goes along with that, of course, we have to be effective as individuals before we can be effective corporately, right? You know, so, and so the question that goes along with that is, how effective are we as a church? You know, so as we, you know, we reflect on those two questions, you know, should put us in the right frame of mind to do this self-evaluation, you know. And so as we think about, you know, this is about God's elect and His people and how we're to be and how we're to be fruitful. And we have to think about, you know, why does God have an elect? Why does He have His people for Himself, you know? And the purpose is so that the world could see God, right? We're supposed to be the representative of Christ. We're supposed to be the representatives of the gospel. And He uses us for that. You know, a lot of times, I think that we don't really think about that very often, do we? As much as we should. You know, we get busy in our daily walks and our daily lives and work and all the other things that go along with it, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, we could do a lot better at this, couldn't we? We need to be a lot more effective, a lot more fruitful, you know, and so we could do better with that. But in order to be better, in order to do better, we have to be better, right? You know, so we have to, you know, it's easy for us to have the mindset that, yeah, I need to be better. I need to be a better Christian, right? I need to be more faithful. I need to be more obedient. But that requires action from us. You know, just like, you know, we're in Jeremiah, so we're talking about the Israelites and the path that they've been going down, right? You know, and so just like the Israelites, just like the nation of Israel, when God saved them out of and brought them out of the slavery into the promised land, the purpose for that was that so the world would know God, right? And so we're an extension of that. You know, we're the remnant of today, and that's the representative, how we're supposed to represent God, so that the world that we live in would know Him. And so what does that require of us? Well, it requires a lot, doesn't it? You know, as we think about it, you know, as a Christian, we must have, in order for us to be fruitful, to produce fruit and to be effective, just like the song we just sang, something's got to be in us, right? Because if it's not in us, it can't come out of us, right? You know, have you ever heard the saying of, well, it's not really what you know, it's who you can fool? Anybody ever heard that saying before? That applies to a lot of things in life, right? But it doesn't apply to being a Christian or God's elect. Because We may be to fool some people some of the time, but if Christ is not in us, the real us is going to show up a lot of times, right? And so, and we certainly can't fool God, and we certainly can't fool ourselves, but we can fool some other people. But that, you know, so, and when we talk about being a Christian in today's time, you know, that has a lot of meanings, doesn't it? You know? But really, this text is about God's elect. That's what Christianity is, right? It's God's elect people. He chose a people for His own, just like Jake prayed. We didn't have any desire to know God. That's what Scripture teaches us, right? We have no desire at all until what takes place? Until He places the Holy Spirit in us, right? And we're born again. Something, we can't do that. We can't born ourselves the first time, and we certainly can't born ourselves again, right? And so that's something that He has to do. And He does that for us, but then comes our part, right? Like Scripture says, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, right? You know, that's a verse that I try to remind myself of every day, multiple times a day. Because I have to, in order to work it out, that's something I have to engage in, right? I can't just coast through the day. I can't just coast through anything, right? And it's not good enough that I'm just a church attender, right? It's not good enough that we're just church attenders, or that we belong to a church, or that we do this activity, or we do that activity, or we do those things, you know. That's not good enough. You know, what does He really expect from us? And so that's the question we have to ask ourselves tonight. How effective am I as a Christian? You put your name in there, right? And make it a personal question, you know? And so as we look at God's Word and we see what He's going to say there, and then we'll break it down. So let's look at 2 Peter, starting in verse 3. His divine power has granted us all to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called to us His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of a divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way you will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray before we jump into it. Dear Father God, we thank You for this time. We thank You for all the provisions You make for us as Your people, dear Lord. For saving us from our sins, dear Lord, and giving us a desire, dear Lord, to want to know You personally, and to want to please You, and to want to worship You. Dear Lord, I pray, just as Jake prayed earlier, that these words would forever change us, dear Lord, because that's the reason we study Your Word, that's the reason we place ourselves under Your Word, is that we would be transformed by it, that it would have its effect on us, that it would mold and shape us as individuals and then corporately together as a body. So, dear Lord, what I'm asking is that You just have Your way with us right now. And You Help us to understand and comprehend what you would have us to, so that we can be more effective and more fruitful and perform the things we need to perform for you and to glorify you in all that we say and do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, being a Christian is something that really has no limits. If God places the Spirit in us and we're born again, there is really no limits to how effective we could be. Unlike other things, right? You know, like let's just say that, you know, you want to be an athlete, or you want to be a doctor, or you want to be a teacher, or you want to be a plumber, you want to be a mechanic, you want to be a salesman. You know, there's a lot of limits that take place. Our human limits fall into that factor, right? You know, there's physical limits, there's age limits, there's mental limits, and then there's also our gifts and talents that limit us, right? Sometimes we're not gifted or talented in those things, right? And so we can exalt and spend a lot of time trying to accomplish these things and never be able to accomplish them. But that's not the case with being one of God's people. He doesn't give us any limits. We're not limited by our age. We're not limited physically. You know, we're not limited mentally. And our talents, he gives us different gifts and talents to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, right? And he's constantly molding and fashioning us. So as we look at this, as we look at these words that we just read, you know, we have to look at, so if we look at verse 8, and it says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So then we need to back up. I read that first because to help us put us in the right frame of mind, what qualities do we have to have as God's people? You know, how do we become effective and fruitful? You know, he lays these things out. The first thing he says is in verse 3, he says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." What is all things? All things is all things, right? There's no limit there, right? It's not he said that, well, I'm giving you a little bit of this and a little bit of that. He's given us all things that pertain to life and good and godliness. You know, Scripture tells us that we have to be holy as he is holy, right? And our human mind tells us what? Oh, we'll never accomplish that. So why even try, right? You know, just like the things of life that we'll never accomplish. You know, like, you know, I could wake up one morning and decide I want to be, you know, a pro golfer, but that's not going to happen, is it? You know, it's just not going to happen. It's not in me to do that, you know, so it's not going to happen. But here, when talking about being effective and fruitful for God, he says that those words, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us, there again, he had to call us, right? He had to start the process. You know, so the first thing we have to have in us is faith, right? He places faith in us so that we will believe in him, right? That's the first thing he has to put in us. And it's just a little bit of faith, right? He gives us that faith. But he gives us enough faith to believe. And he places that in us along with the Holy Spirit to guide us on the journey of working out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? The fear and trembling part of that is what? What are we supposed to be fearful of? And how are we supposed to tremble? By failing in it, right? That's what it means by that we should not fail in that process. He starts our salvation, but we have to work it out. So really the only limits that we have is the limits that we place on ourselves. If we're not going to be an effective, fruitful Christian, it's really the limits that we place on ourselves. And then you got to think back and you got to say, okay, why would God save me if I'm not going to be fruitful? That's another self-evaluation. You know, if I'm not being fruitful and effective, then I have to question, am I really saved? Because I don't think God would save somebody that wouldn't be fruitful, right? Now, sure, we can depress the spirit for a period of time. But there again, you know, during this self-evaluation, part of that is to evaluate whether we're really a child of God's or not. We always have to be evaluating that, right? We're sealed by the Spirit. So if the Spirit's in us and we have a desire to want to know God and those things, then yes, we're saved. But if that's not our desire, then we really got to question, is the Spirit in us? Am I really one of God's elect? If I can go through this life and not be fruitful and not be effective and not have a desire to do that, then I really need to go back to square one, don't I? And plead for God's mercy to save me, right? Because once again, we just talked about it, if it's not in you, it can't come out of you. So if Christ is not in us and the Spirit's not in us, then we're not going to be fruitful. And we're not going to be effective. Because He grants us those things. So pick it back up in verse 4. It says, "For by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature." Now what does that mean? What is a divine nature? That we'd be Christ-like, right? That we would have a Christ-like mindset. That we would have His nature. Wouldn't it be great when He saved us if our default was holiness? You know? That would be great, wouldn't it? But that's not our default. What's our default? Ourselves, right? And the only way to overcome that is to continue to feed that Spirit that's in us, right? You know, it's kind of like, you know, when a farmer plants a plant, or let's just say he's going to plant a tree that bears fruit, you know, it's not that he just throws the seed on the ground and walks away and says, okay, have at it, right? It takes a lot of work and effort to get that seed to produce the fruit, right? You know? And I think a lot of times, especially in the you know, for us being Reformed theology, it's easy for us sometimes to get into the mindset that God's going to accomplish His will with or without me because He's sovereign. That's a scary place for our minds to go. That is true. But that's a scary place for our mind to go. Because there's a warning in this text, or the, you know, part of this promise is that we have to be fruitful and we have to be effective if we're going to receive His great promises, eternal life, right? So we can't have the mindset that, well, it's just good enough that I just go to church, or it's just good enough that I acknowledge God, right? That's the American version of a Christianity, right? The problem is that American gospel does not exist. So many people think it does, but it does not exist. It just doesn't exist. But he tells us that we're going to become partakers of the divine nature. And then he says, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. There again, it goes back to our original desires, right? And so a lot of emphasis needs to be put on our desires, and we need to constantly be asking ourselves, what are my desires? You know, are my desires more worldly than for God's kingdom? You know, we're constantly surrounded by worldly things, right? You know, and unfortunately, the time and place that we live, the world has a big influence on us. And it's hard for us to tune that out, isn't it? And that's why we constantly got to be reminding ourselves, constantly doing self-evaluations. It's not good enough that we just come in here and listen to preaching on Sunday mornings, is it? You know, if that's all we do, we're not going to be very effective. And we're not going to be very fruitful. And it's not really, if you've been coming here for any length of period of time, it's not that you need more knowledge, right? Because we have Nick is a great pastor. And he has taught us a lot. He preaches faithfully. And really, for the most part, he probably cares for our souls more than we care for them. And that shows up in his preaching. So it's not that for us to be more effective or more fruitful, it's not that we need better preaching. We have that, right? And we have knowledge. If you've been here a couple of times, you have enough knowledge to know what to do, to know how to apply God's word. Because knowledge without applying it is really no good at all, is it? It's actually damning. Knowledge without applying it is really damning to us. Because the more knowledge we have, the more God should hold us accountable for, right? The more we understand what we should be doing, the more he's going to hold us accountable. And here it talks about our sinful desires, and then pick it up back in verse 5. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Now, here's the list of qualities that we need to be effective and fruitful. And here's what they are. He says, supplement your faith. There again, the faith is what the start of it, right? God has to place the faith in us. That's the start of what he puts in us. And then we have to supplement it with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. And with knowledge, with self-control. Now, okay, what's self-control? That's a hard one, isn't it? Because we live in a world that's totally out of control, that has no self-control. But here we're told we have to have self-control. And then he says we have to be steadfastness. And then, you know, steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. You know, these list of qualities go right along with the ones we see in Galatians 5, where it talks about, you know, the old us and the new us, and what it, you know, the definition of a Christian and the qualities we're to have. And it's important that we look at these scriptures and the one in Galatians on a regular basis to remind ourselves, this is what I have to be, you know, because we don't get that influence from the world, do we? When we look at these qualities, they're not worldly qualities, you know, they're not worldly qualities at all. They're godly qualities. It's part of that divine nature that he says he's going to give us, right? These qualities have to come from him because they're not natural. Especially in the world we live in today, they're just not natural. And then he says in verse 8, for if these qualities are yours, all right, so these qualities have to be ours, right? In other words, these qualities, you could put it this way too, these qualities have to be in us, in you, right? If they're not in us, then they can't come out of us, right? So they have to be in us. Now, once again, he gives us faith. He gives us all the things we need to pertain to life and godliness. He changes our nature to a divine nature instead of a sinful nature. And he gives us the ability to expand these qualities. You know, it takes self-control to do that, right? You know, that's why it's in there. Self-control. Sure, we have to have knowledge. But like I said, once again, we have plenty of knowledge. We just need to apply it. But that doesn't mean we don't need more knowledge, right? That's why we have to constantly be reading God's Word. It's just like God's Word is alive. You know, that's what we mean by it's alive. Every time we read it, it brings out new meanings to it, right? You know, and it reveals different things to us. And it's not good enough that we just read it every now and then, or we read it once and say, I've already read that. I don't need to read it again. Kind of like we watch a movie. No, we've seen that. I don't want to watch it again. That's not the way it goes with God's Word, right? You know? And there's another thing, you know, that always comes to my mind is when it comes to the knowledge of God, the more we know about Him and the more we know about ourselves really just reveals how dumb we really are, doesn't it? You know, it's unlike different knowledge of different things, right? You know, like if we want to study a certain topic, you know, we can study it and we get smarter and smarter and smarter as we study it. But the more knowledge we get of God and of ourselves, we realize how depraved we really are, right? And how much we do need Him, just like we just sung, right? We have to, without Christ, where would we be? You know, we could do nothing and accomplish nothing. So it says there, pick it back up in verse 8, it says, for if these qualities are yours, meaning they're in us, and are increasing. It's not good enough that they just stay the same, what God's Word is telling us, right? They have to be increasing. So what does that mean? That means we never get to a point to where we can say, okay, I'm good enough. I've done enough, and I'm good enough. I've accomplished enough. I've been as effective as I need to be, and I've been as fruitful as I need to be. Now, we do that with a lot of other things in life, right? You know, and our human nature is let's just see how little we can get by with, usually, right? What's the minimum I can do to meet the requirement? That's not the case of being a Christian. There is no minimum, right? We can, you know, even at our best of times, we're still not what we need to be, right? We still fall very short. And so these things have to always be increasing. They have to always be increasing. And then he says, and why do they have to be increasing? They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to be more effective and more fruitful, we have to look at these qualities, we have to possess these qualities, and we have to be increasing them. So how do we do that? You know, I said once again, I said earlier that it's not good enough that you would just come in here and sit in the pew and listen to sermons, right? But that's one way we increase them. We have to listen to God's Word. We have to study God's Word. But it's not good enough that we're just hearers of God's Word. We have to be doers of it, right? And so we have to constantly be increasing these. Now, how are we going to increase in these if we never think about them? Or if we never do a self-evaluation? Or if we just come to the conclusion that I'm good, I've done everything I need to do, you know? And then we look around us and we say, well, you know, I'm better than so-and-so, so I'm okay, right? We give ourselves the thumbs up. But then all of a sudden we come across somebody that's really doing good at these. And what's that do to us? When we come across somebody that is really effective and really fruitful, that should do something to us, shouldn't it? It should spur us on, right? It should lift us up. That's why it's important that we're constantly engaging with one another. One of the things he says, you know, the brotherly affection, and then with brotherly affection with love. It's important that we love one another, that we're constantly engaging with one another. You know, that we're excited about being with one another. It gives us encouragement, right? You know? And so that's important. So, you know, not only do we have to do this as individuals, but we have to, like I said, we have to look at how are we doing this as a church. You know, how effective are we being as a church? And why and what areas are we not being as effective in as we need to be? It takes more than just the pastor doing his job or the staff doing their job. There again, that's an American mindset. Well, we pay somebody to do that, right? We can't pay somebody to be fruitful for us. We can't pay somebody to be effective for us as Christians. We have to do it. We have to engage in it. And then he said, pick it up in verse 9. He says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. That should be a sobering thought right there, shouldn't it? Especially if we're doing a self-evaluation and we're saying, okay, I'm not being very fruitful. I'm not being very effective. You know, I'm more of a pew setter. I'm more of a hearer but not a doer. When you read this, it says, when you read that whoever lacks these things is so nearsighted that he is blind, and having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins, that should be a real eye-opener, right? That we really don't, we're really not thankful for what Christ has done for us if we're not being effective and fruitful. That's a scary thought to have. And then in verse 10, he says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. There again, never fail. That there's no restrictions there, right? Just like he started off with all things. And then in this verse he says, never fail. You know, a part of this, it says, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. There again, it takes self-evaluation, right? That's what this is about. That's what this text is about, that we would read this and we would evaluate ourselves. We would really look at what are our desires. Is it my desire to be more fruitful, more effective as a Christian? Is it my desire to want to know more about Christ? Is it my desire to want to fellowship with the body of Christ? Is it my desire to want to be at church at every time possible? To be fruitful in serving one another and loving one another, as this says, and expanding our knowledge and being steadfast and godly and with godliness. You know, these are qualities that we have to practice. And if we don't practice these qualities, then we're going to fail as being effective and fruitful. Then look at verse 11. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this is the promise, right? This is eternal life with Christ. And so another question we have to ask ourselves when we read this, if I'm not being effective and fruitful here on earth, then why would Christ want me in heaven with him? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. If I don't worship him here on earth, and it's not my desire to do that, then why would he want me in heaven? And we all know what the answer to that would be, right? He wouldn't. He wouldn't want us there. But he promises this entrance into the eternal kingdom. And so when we see that, we have to look at, okay, that is way more important than this world we live in, right? So why do we allow this world to have as much influence on us as we do? That's a question we need to ask ourselves, right? Because this world's fading away day by day. And we know, you know, there's a lot of difference between us and the Israelites in a lot of ways, right? But in a lot of ways, we're the same. You know, they struggled with disobedience. You know, they struggled with the instructions God gave them. And it's no different from us today. But in reality, I think they had more of an excuse than we have. And I say that because they didn't have the rest of the story. Right? They were on the other side of the cross. They didn't have all of Christ's teachings. They didn't have all of God's word combined in a form that we can study. And so really, we don't have any excuses. If we call ourselves a Christian, and maybe that's the question I should have started with for us all to think about first. If someone comes up to you and asks, hey, you know, are you one of God's elect? Are you a Christian? If you answer yes to that question, then you have to look at, okay, how am I doing in that? Am I being effective and am I being fruitful in that? Because once again, I don't think God elects people to be unfruitful people. He doesn't call them to his own to be unfruitful. We see what happened as we're studying in Jeremiah, and we know the story. We know what happens to the Israelites, right? For them being unfruitful and ineffective and sinful and not following God's ways. But somehow or another, we think it's different for us. But the promise, just like he promised them the promised land, and they had to abide by his rules and regulations in order to stay in that land under his provision and under his care, they had to be effective and fruitful and obedient. The same goes for us for the promise of eternal life, right? Because we see that throughout Scripture, that if we're not faithful, if we're not obedient, then that promise is not for us. And so that's why it's so important for us to continue to do these self-evaluations, to constantly be reminding ourselves of who we're to be. And how do we accomplish that? So once again, these qualities have to be in us in order for them to come out. And if we want to be better at being fruitful and effective, then we have to make ourselves better, right? It takes work. It's not going to happen on its own. That's another human thing that we have, right? A human thing that, well, you know, eventually I'll get there, right? You know, eventually it'll come around, or, well, you know, I'll get to it when I have more time. The problem with that was we'll never have any more time, right? We never will. You know, the thing is, we make time for what we want to do, right? Even as busy as we are, we always find time to do what we want to do, right? You know, so when someone has the excuse, well, I don't have time to do that. If we really kept a calendar or a daily log of how we spend every minute in a day, How many minutes would we come up that we wasted, you think? It'd be a lot, wouldn't it? You know, it would be a lot. And so we can't say that we don't have time to do this. Or, I have other things I have to accomplish, right? The thing is, being God's people, being God's elect, being a Christian trumps everything else in our life. It's more important than anything else. It has to be. It has to be the number one focus. Because if it's not the number one focus, we're just going to fail at everything. Right? Because that's where contentment comes. Being content in Christ makes us content in all things, right? And the minute we're not content, what happens? We're chasing down this task or that task or going down this dark hole or that dark hole, right? And it's all being influenced by the world. So we must be better at this. We must be increasing in these as individuals and corporately together as a body. And we need each other to do that. You know, we need to be better at being a body of Christ, right? Of being a congregation, of being a church, you know, and being excited about being here and excited about hearing God's word, excited about worshiping Him. You know, there's no reason for us to have this few people here on Wednesday night. There's no reason for us, not for the Sunday school classes, not to be full. There's not. There's no reason. There's no reason that we're not all doing something part for the care ministry, right? That we're not serving in some way, fashion, or form. That's part of being fruitful. There again, it has to be in us to come out of us. But we have to engage, you know, and the more people that are engaged in activities, the more people get engaged, you know. It's hard for get people to come to church when there's not a lot of people at church, right? You know, the faithful will always be here. I look out here and I see the same groups always here on Wednesday nights, right? We're missing some of us because they're at camp, you know. But it's the same in Sunday school, right? It's the same people that come, you know, that are faithful to come. And so how do we expand that? You know, how do we get... It's not like we need to go down to the street corner and beg people to come to church, right? We have enough people to fill up Sunday school classes. We just have to get the people that come regularly to come more regularly, right? And so that's where we could start. You know, we could just start with the people, because they're going to be the easiest people to reach, right? The people that have the same knowledge we have, the same understanding of God's word that we have. If we can't reach them and get them engaged, then there's a problem, right? So that's where we got to start. And that's part of that brotherly love and brotherly affection, being concerned about people's souls, you know? Our pastor doesn't need to be the only one that's concerned. We all need to be concerned. We all need to be engaged in this activity, this quest to be more effective and be more fruitful. And so I want to end with just a few questions, a few more personal questions that's going to help us close out this and really get us thinking about some things. And I find this very helpful for me when I'm self-evaluating. I have to ask myself questions because it makes me think about them. Makes me want, you know, and not that I just need to ask myself questions. I really need to think about it and answer them, because that's where the thinking comes in, right? And that's where the self-evaluation comes in. So one of the first things we need to ask ourselves really is, what is my desires? That's an important question to ask ourselves. What are my desires? And then once I answer that, then how do I accomplish them, right? How do I move forward to accomplishing those desires? This one goes right along with it. It may even be the one that we need to get to ask ourselves first. Is what is my spiritual condition? You know? A lot of times I think we're more concerned about our physical condition than our spiritual condition. And our spiritual condition is much more important than our physical condition. Because our physical condition is going to deteriorate. It's not going to lead us to heaven, but our spiritual condition would. And that goes right into always questioning ourselves, according to my action and my desires and the fruit I bear and the effectiveness that I have, am I an elect person of God? Another question is, how effective am I doing kingdom work? The work that really matters, right? Kingdom work. And then it goes along with this text. What fruit am I bearing? Am I bearing fruit at all? Or what kind of fruit am I bearing? What is coming out of me? Right? Just like that farmer plants a tree and wants it to bear fruit. But what kind of fruit is it bearing? Is it bearing fruit that you can eat? Is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? You know? We're bearing some kind of fruit. It's just, what kind of fruit are we bearing? And then the last thing, I said this before, but in order to do better, we must be better. So how do we better ourselves? And I think we all know the answer to that, right? Spend more time in God's Word. Spend more time with each other, lifting each other up. Meditating on God's Word. Having moments like we're having right now, self-reflective moments. They should happen daily, right? Because if they don't happen daily, what happens to that day? Slips by, and then another day comes, and another day comes, right? And then before you know it, we've gone a long time without evaluating ourselves. We have to evaluate our... I have to evaluate myself multiple times a day because I get off task real easy. Give my mind a few minutes, and I'm in trouble. So just think about those things. Think about how you can be more effective as an individual, then how can we be more effective as a church? All right, let's close. Dear Father God, we're so thankful, dear Lord, that you have called us your people. And we can call you our God, knowing that you're a God that saved us from our sins, that gave us the faith, that placed the faith in us, dear Lord, to believe in you and to trust in you, to have the divine nature, dear Lord, that you have, dear Lord, that you would give us these qualities and all the promises that you give us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, I pray that these words, as we self-evaluate ourselves and then as we evaluate ourselves as a church, dear Lord, as a whole body, dear Lord, that we would be better, that we would make ourselves better so that we could do better, so that we could be more effective and fruitful. Dear Lord, it is true. You don't need us to accomplish your will. But dear Lord, we need you. And we need you to abide in us. But first we have to abide in you. And we need you to mold and fashion us by your Spirit. And like I prayed earlier, dear Lord, that you would just have your way with us, that you would give us the eyes to see ourselves as we need to see ourselves, that we could be honest with ourselves, and that we would have an honest self-evaluation. Because the first step of any recovery, dear Lord, is admitting where we are at this point. And how do we get from where we are to where we need to be? So do that work in us, dear Lord. We thank you for this place. We thank you for this time. I pray that our worship has been pleasing to you, and that you would keep us as we leave this place, dear Lord, and help us to be the right representation of your gospel to this lost world that we live in, and that you would gather us again Sunday for the very purpose of hearing your word and being transformed by it. We pray for the people that are at camp and will be traveling back later on this evening, dear Lord, that you'll bring them back safely. And dear Lord, we look forward to hearing the work you had done on this journey. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.